What does it mean to give glory to God? Is it just to say the phrase, glory to God, or is it something deeper, something more profound? This week on Light of the Word Radio, Pastor Jim addresses the question of how we give glory to God. It is far more than a few sounds from our throats. It is more than using the right phrase or the right hymnal. Giving glory to God is a matter of the heart, and it's something that can only be done when God enables us to love Him. So sit back and settle in for this second half of Pastor Jim's introduction to the book of Galatians on Light of the Word Radio.
So the reason for our salvation is the glory of God. I hear people use that term, glorify God. I want to glorify God. But sometimes it seems to be an empty statement. An empty statement. Used to be a lady that stood at our local Walmart door. She was a very nice lady, but when she would go to work at the Walmart as a greeter, she'd go into a trance or something. Because every person that came by, she said the exact same thing to. I mean, same tone of voice, same everything. Welcome to Walmart. Welcome to Walmart. Every single person. Every other greeter would change it up a little bit. But this woman said it the exact same way. After you've heard her say it to a dozen people, it sounds pretty empty, doesn't it? God's word will never come back void. So when we begin to look at Scripture through the understanding that everything in the Scripture is about God's glory, and our salvation is for His glory, and that it all comes by Him, we can't do anything to go get it, we begin to understand these pillars. This is why, or what came out of the Reformation. There was this great desire among those who God had raised up at that time to glorify Him. These people who He raised up, they didn't all agree on every aspect of Scripture, but they knew that it was all for and about Him. There were many things that Calvin and Wesley and Luther could agree on. In doing so, they led a reforming back to the Word of God. That's what Paul's after. That's what Paul's after here. We know that in Scripture, Paul says, you say, I am of Apollos, I am of Paul. But who is Apollos? Who is Paul? One waters, one plants, but it is God who gives the increase. It is about God. And when our doctrine takes us away from that, our doctrine has taken us away from God. Paul's going to address that. And he's going to get a little hard on him here. As we go through this, we're going to see some things that Paul says. It's a little tough to these people. For example, verse 9. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one received, let him be accursed. And that accursed is a word that means damned. Let him be damned who teaches a different gospel. And just in case we don't understand what let him be damned means, let him go to hell is what it's saying. Let him have eternal punishment. That's what it's saying. Paul's going to get tough on him. He's going to show them the importance of truth. The reformers showed the importance of truth. Friends, today, we need to be showing the importance of truth. Because in every denomination, I don't care what your denomination is, I don't care what your background is, in every single denomination, the false prophets, the false teachers have slipped in. And just like the Judaizers, they're going to start teaching something that doesn't match God's word. What is it that the Judaizers were teaching? They believed, or at least taught, that you had to be circumcised to be Christian. That a man who was not circumcised could not follow after Christ. Now, there might be a number of reasons why. As Jews, they may have felt that them being the chosen people of God, the people through which the Messiah came, if you wanted to follow the Messiah, he was Jewish, so you needed to become Jewish. Then there were those who felt that the Gentiles becoming Christian was to take a dog and live with them. And they didn't want that. So they wanted to put on them having to become a Jew before they could become a Christian, knowing that there would be those who would reject the idea. But these are ways of trying to earn favor. Back to Martin Luther. He was trying to earn favor until the day his eyes were opened to grace. I taught a class one time on these soles. And as I was teaching it, people began to ask questions about, well, what about, and they started listing all these things that they had heard all their life you have to do. One of the things that we hear in today's culture and in today's church, especially in the Baptist churches, but also other denominations, is you have to say this sinner's prayer. You can change it a little bit, but you got to say something along this lines. In fact, we've taken that so far as you at least have to agree to it. You don't have to say it. I'll read it. If you agree to it, just nod your head. Because you got to do something. We really seem to think that God needs our help to save us. I don't know about you, but I can't think of anything God needs our help for. God blesses us in allowing us to come alongside Him in what He's doing in ministry. But He doesn't need any of us. People say, well, and they mean this in the best way, but I just heard this last week. Brother Jim, you're God's hands and feet. God doesn't need me to be His hands and feet. God didn't need me when He formed man out of the dust of the earth. I think whatever hands He has in the Spirit worked just fine, don't you? He didn't need me when He formed the earth, when He created time. And brothers and sisters, He may use me, and I may be a tool that He uses, but God does not need me. I need Him for everything. As soon as we start thinking that God needs us, and there's something that we have to do to help God save us, we have fallen away from truth. That's why Paul just repeats it. It's by grace. It's nothing of you. So Paul introduces himself and that he is an apostle. By the way, of all the books that Paul wrote, there are four that are unquestionably Paul. There's arguments about some of the other ones, but the four that there is no doubt Paul wrote, nobody of any sound thinking argues that Paul didn't write, are Galatians, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. All the rest, there is somebody that wants to argue whether or not Paul wrote it. But those four are unquestionably Paul. And here he's addressing these things. He's also addressing his apostleship. Paul, an apostle. Who makes an apostle? He says, not from men or through man. Nobody had anything to do with Paul being an apostle. Only God. He says, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. Again, addresses our salvation, doesn't it? Our salvation isn't by anybody. I read a story one time, and it was a sweet story. And I tell you, a lot of false doctrine is pretty sweet. It really is. It's very nice. But I read a story one time that was talking about asking this little girl, who's preaching brought her to Christ? Whose preaching saved her? And she said, oh, it wasn't anybody's preaching. It was Aunt Martha's living. Well, we do need to live in a way that's a witness. But Aunt Martha didn't bring her to Christ. Christ brought her and saved her. Aunt Martha might have been a great tool of God's, right? Aunt Martha might have been someone that God used greatly to draw her, but it was God. When we start taking God's credit, we have moved away from Him. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, we need to be moving to Him, not away from Him. So he says that it was not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Him from the dead. And then, and the brothers and sisters who are with me. Is he saying the brothers and sisters raised Him from the dead? No. He's saying they are also from God. They are also from God only. You, as a believer, it is God and God alone. He receives the glory for anything you have. Then he says at the end of verse 2, to the churches of Galatia. And we've already discussed that some. these churches that he went in and started, that God raised up through him. And he taught them good, solid doctrine. He taught them the gospel the way it was given to him by God himself. Paul goes so far as to say, even if I or an angel should teach a different gospel, let us be accursed. That's how important the truth of the gospel is. Then he greets those who will hear this letter. Now, this letter would have been brought to a church. That church would have either made a copy or just read it and passed it on. But either way, the letter in Paul's hand would have been passed from one church to the next. Many of them would have, they probably didn't use a Xerox, but they made a copy and passed it on to the next church. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. John Wesley, he made this statement about Galatians. He said, I found lasting peace from Galatians. He had to come to peace with God. Grace to you. That's the grace of God he's talking about. To you. And peace from God. I saw a story about a king who wanted to understand peace. Because as a king, he was tormented with no peace. And he wanted to understand peace. So he sent a decree out for all the artists of the land to bring him a picture of peace. And one after another, they lined up and they began to bring in their pictures. And one after another, he rejected. And then came a man, held up his picture. It wasn't of rolling meadows like some. It wasn't of beautiful sunsets. This was a picture of a waterfall, a very turbulent waterfall. You could see the water splashing off the jagged rocks. You could see it going in all different directions. You could see the danger of the fall itself. But as you look closely at the picture, at the edge of the fall in a tree was a bird nest. And in the bird nest was a mother bird calmly feeding her babies. And the peace is, no matter what the storm is, there is peace to be found. And that is the peace that comes from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. He gave himself on the cross. He took God's wrath. A statement that I heard Paul Washer make when he was here, and I've heard him say it many times since, is that God isn't saving us from hell. He isn't saving us from our sin. He is saving us from himself and his wrath. That statement just burnt into my heart because, yes, that's the truth. What I need saved from is God's wrath, and only God can do that. Only he can cleanse me and cover me in the righteousness of Christ so that I can be saved, or should I say, safe from his wrath, who gave himself for our sin to deliver us from this present evil age. Before I talk about the evil age a little bit more, according to the will of our God and Father, okay? Anything that takes place that glorifies God is according to the will of our glorious Father, according to his will. How do we know his will? We talked about that as we went through James. We get to know him more closely, more intimately by his word, and we begin to understand what his expectations are and what he loves. We also learn what he hates. And if we want to know his will, we find those things that God loves and we conform to them. And above all, God says, I will not share my glory with anyone. So above all, it is his glory. And I keep harping on this because this is what this introduction is about. When we separate ourselves from God because we want the word to say something it doesn't, we are not glorifying him. He is only glorified in truth about himself. I heard a preacher use an illustration like this. If I was to tell you about my lovely wife, Cynthia, and I told you of all these wonderful attributes that weren't her attributes, think she'd be very happy with me when I got done? If I described her beauty, but the description was somebody else, Think she'd be very happy with me when I got done? Why do you think God is going to be happy with you if you are going to allow in your life a description of Him that doesn't fit Him, that describes somebody else? So as we go through Galatians, we want to find those nuggets of truth, and we want to hold on to them. We want to treasure them up in our heart. I remember back in 2000, end of 2000, I read the book, When I Don't Desire God, by John Piper. I tell you, it took me a long time to read it. His writing and his way of thinking was so foreign to my own at that time that I would read a paragraph and I'd go back and think, what did he just say? And I'd have to go back and I would have to reread that. I followed that up with reading Desiring God. And the thing that I came away from that with was this idea that John Piper has that we should be Christian hedonists. I used to talk a lot more about it than I do today. That we should be Christian hedonists. A hedonist is somebody who loves himself and hoards and desires and does whatever it takes to please himself. That we should do everything in our power to love and to hold and to have Christ closer and closer. Then we'll understand His will. Verse 5 says, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. As we've been going through this, it keeps coming back to His glory. It keeps coming back to those things that reveal Him. When we read God's Word, the reason the reading of God's Word is so important is because His Word reveals Him better than anything else. Back to Sola Scriptura. I can elaborate on those things that are in God's Word, but nothing reveals Him more than His Word. Nothing reveals His beauty and His truth more than His Word. And to just read His Word, people have been saved. Has anyone ever heard the Gideon speak? Anyone? I know those who have been here a long time have. Every time you hear a Gideon talk, what they will tell you is the story of some soul who was at the very end of themselves in one way or another, that somehow comes across a Gideon Bible. Maybe it was in a hotel room, a hospital bed. Maybe it was something they found in a trash can as they were searching for food. But they opened up that Bible, and wherever it was that they started reading, God saved them. And the Gideons point out the importance of God's Word being placed in all the places that they put it, so that people will hear God's Word, see God's Word. That's important. That's why we have fought to keep God's Word and the reading of God's Word a part of our services. People have told me in the past, well, we could shorten service if you took out that extra reading. You're going to read the Scriptures anyway when you preach. No. No, we need to be adding more of God's Word. We need God's Word. But I want to tell you just briefly what's at stake. The frankness of it is this. God's glory is not at stake. God will be glorified. What is at stake in not having the truth is eternity. For you, for me, and for those around us. Because if we're not glorifying God, then we can't be His. And if we're not His, then we cannot come into the Father's kingdom. And if we do not go into the Father's kingdom, that means we go to hell. That's what's at stake. And there are families that generation after generation after generation have heard the lies and not the truth. And I tell you, it gets them pretty upset when you bring them the truth. The truth of God's Word is going to be offensive to people. Jesus told us that straightforward, didn't He? They hated me. They're going to hate you. Jesus said they hate the light and they love the darkness. People believe things that are not true because that's what they want to believe. People go to churches often because that's what they want to hear. They don't want the truth because they do not truly believe in Jesus Christ. Because in not believing Him, they don't have to worry about heaven and hell. They think they're okay. I did a funeral several years ago. I did it at a funeral home, but I wouldn't have allowed the song be played here. At the funeral home, they played the song from Caddyshack. I'm all right. Don't have to worry about me. No, you're not. You're not all right. You are facing eternal forever and ever without end punishment, torment. That's not all right. It is not a party. And when we think it's okay to let these little things that are not quite true be okay, just so we keep unity, what you're saying is you're at peace with someone going to hell because the lie sends them to hell. So as we look at Galatians, let's really hear Paul teach us truth. When I started studying deeper into God's word, there were things that I had said and taught in the past that were wrong, and I had to correct. We got to get in there, and we got to let him show us so that we can grow. And as he shows us, we'll be able to take that to others in love that they too can grow and know. And I want to close with something very familiar to some of you, to most of you, and that is salvation. There are people all around us who go to church. There are people all around us who carry a Bible, who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ because of these lies. So I want you to hear that God saves. What he does, and you're going to hear me say this a lot, you have heard me say it a lot. What he does is he gives us that new heart. When he gives us that new heart, with it, he plants faith. That new heart has faith planted in it. With that new heart, he opens up the eyes and the scales fall off our eyes like they did Paul's. Our ears are unclogged and we hear the truth of his word. And we see ourselves in light of the sin that we commit. And then we see our sin and ourselves in light of Christ. And we become like Isaiah. Woe am I. I am a man of unclean lips. I come from a people of unclean lips. When we see this, we will repent. You will never repent of your sins until you see the wretchedness of your sin in light of the perfection of Christ. And when you do that, you will repent and you will commit yourself. You will receive your Savior and you will get up and follow him. And I say you will get up because I can't imagine how you do that on your feet. You're going to do it on your face, one way or another. And you will follow after him. And you will be a new creation. You will be better than you have ever been. Your health might not change. It probably won't. Your friends might begin to leave you. But you will be better than you ever were. Because you will then be complete and at peace with God. May his grace, his all-sufficient grace, cover you. Please stand with me and let's pray. Father, as we close, as we get into this book of Galatians, as we see your glory, as we look at those things from the Reformation that you have been doing within the church from the beginning, oh Lord, may we be transformed into men and women, boys and girls who show your glory in what we do. You said in Matthew 5:16, let your works be seen before men, that they would see these good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Oh Lord, be glorified. Speak to the hearts of those who are here. Oh Father, may your Spirit convict those who are here who do not know you, that they need you, and those who believe a lie to desire and cling to the truth. And we give you the glory. In Christ Jesus, I pray.
Ah, what a picture of salvation. We should never tire of hearing the great work of God in saving us. He gives us that new heart, filled with faith, and causes us to see our sin in light of that faith. Then the first response of a newly living heart is repentance. And wonder of wonders, God forgives. He applies the blood of Jesus to cover our sin and to save us from his own wrath. If this has never happened to you, we urge you to cry out to God for mercy. He will never turn away a heart that asks for mercy. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. Or you can find us on the web at www.lightoftheworldradio.com. Once again, that's www.lightoftheworldradio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request, for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book, On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History, by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar with stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. Thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time on Light of the Word Radio. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with the final word. As I've said many times, we do this radio program for the glory of God. It is our desire to make much of Him. It is our desire that you would have His Word at your disposal, that you could hear it and know it and grow in it. With that being said, today we are going to have a special guest. It's Jared Burdick. Jared is part of our church here at Lighthouse Baptist Church in St. George, and I have the distinct honor of being his father-in-law. And Jared has been putting together a End Abortion Now rally that we're going to have here on February 28th. And I'm just going to turn this over to him and let Jared tell you just a little bit about it.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, the purpose of this rally is to help our local church community be better equipped to fight against the evil of abortion the way God wants us to, based out of the Bible. Our church is a church partner with the End Abortion Now Coalition, an organization based out of Apologia Church in Phoenix, Arizona, that is dedicated towards the abolishment of abortion. And that's really what our goal is here, is us as a church to stand up and demand immediate justice for our unborn neighbors and to love on them the way the gospel wants us to. So our whole goal here is just to help bring awareness to this issue. But our guest speaker, Dusty Marshall, who will be coming from Phoenix as well, is going to be sharing a lot of experiences he's had firsthand going to the mills and Planned Parenthood abortion clinics and telling us what he has learned, really showing us what the Bible says about this issue so that we can be better equipped to deal with this in our own homes, our churches, our places of work, and our communities. And there's going to be a lot of other information out there to help us find ways to serve in this. But the goal is really for us to come together and just see what God wants us to do with this.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate your time today. Now, that is going to be February the 28th at Lighthouse Baptist Church in St. George, Kansas, from 4 to 7 in the evening, and, of course, dinner afterwards. If you have any questions or comments on this, you're welcome to call our comment line, which was mentioned earlier, or you can email me at pastorjim@lighthousesbc.org. Now, friends, with most all of our services, they are available to watch live on our YouTube channel, which you can find at lighthousesbc.org. Scroll down to the YouTube channel and watch it live. That service will be the 28th of February from 4 to 7 p.m. Or, of course, you can pick it up later as it returns to the YouTube channel. I want to thank everyone for being with us today and being a part of our program. We pray that God has blessed you with those things that have been taught as we teach what we believe is the simple word of God. God bless and goodbye till next week.